Welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. With Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we're live on the air right now with the Basic Gospel. Keep listening. You'll hear how the Basic Gospel intersects with your daily life and how the Word of God can help you experience freedom and true life in Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible question or if there's something you'd like to talk about, this is your best opportunity. Call right now. 1-800-677-9377. Again, that's 1-800-677-9377. It's Basic Gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Richard Piper.
Thanks, Bob. Welcome, everybody. We've been talking about forgiveness a lot this month, and I'm going to talk about it a little bit more today. And I want to come at it from a slightly different perspective. We, in our Wednesday at noon, we have a Bible study here at our facility, and we were looking in Hebrews 2 today. And over in verse 14 and the verses that follow it, I think it lays out one of the reasons why we find this forgiveness issue so critically important. But it doesn't start with forgiveness. It says, therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, they're talking about us as human beings, right, share in flesh and blood with Jesus, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. And so what Jesus was doing in this battle was dealing with the death problem. Mm-hmm. This is part of the gospel. If Jesus hadn't died and been raised, there would be no life. Well, the problem with us sinners is that we're dead. It's not that we may go to hell. It's that we're guaranteed for hell. That's just the way it is, because we're born dead in sin, dead spiritually.
Right.
So Jesus had to take care of the death problem, had to defeat Satan in order to take care of the death problem. And that way he could free those of us who, through fear of death, were subject to slavery. Well, what's the slavery? We're slaves to sin and death.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So the point was to bring life to the dead. Well, how was he going to do that? And it explains it just a couple of verses later. So that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. So Jesus did something unique in history. He was God, he became human, and as a human, because of this perfect relationship he maintained with the Father, he was both priest and sacrifice,
mm-hmm, right,
at the same time.
Yes.
So as the priest, he offered a sacrifice for sins. As the sacrifice, he was offered for sins once and for all. And so if he hadn't taken care of that sin problem, if he hadn't dealt with it successfully once and for all, he could never have broken the power of Satan, who had the power of death. He could not have broken that if he didn't have victory over sin.
Yeah.
And that's why we say, I will every day admit my failure before God. I will confess. I will agree with God that you're God, I'm not. My best efforts are terribly ineffectual,
right,
towards salvation. I will confess that, but I will thank him every day that Jesus had that victory once and for all. He never has to die again. That way, that means there is no more forgiveness to be obtained. I am either a forgiven person in Christ, saved eternally, or I'm lost. And that's the clear choice, because, you know, we're not born neutral. We're born dead. We're born the equivalent of in hell, although we're not,
yeah,
there yet, obviously.
Sure.
But it's the same as if we were. And when we come to faith in Jesus Christ and come alive in him, we receive both his life and his forgiveness and the indwelling Holy Spirit, who is reforming us from the inside out. It's an amazing thing that he's done.
Absolutely. Well, Richard, thanks for that insight. And friends, if you'd like to join the conversation, we have an open line for you right now, 1-800-677-9377, toll-free across the country, 1-800-677-9377. Let's go to Manhattan and talk to Ruth, our friend, and listening on WMCA. Hi, Ruth, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing fine, Ruth. Thanks for calling again. What can we do today?
Good. I think this is going to be the last time I bother you.
You're not bothering us.
You're not bothering us.
I know you want to come through this telephone and wring my neck.
No, we don't. We love the questions. Honestly, we do.
Okay, well, go to 1 John 6 uh-huh. through 10, and I'm going to hang up and listen to you.
So 1
okay?
John 1?
1 John 6 through 10.
Okay, so verses 6 through 10 of 1 John. Okay.
Yeah, Ruth, hang on the line because you may have a follow-up question. Just hold on the line.
Okay.
So let me read it. I'm reading out of the New American Standard Bible. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So is that the package, or the right passage, Ruth?
Yes, but okay. you didn't go through the ninth.
Yes, I did. The ninth says, if we confess our sins, mm-hmm. he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins
yes.
and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And verse 10 says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So what John is talking about here is a situation that had arisen in the church, probably at Ephesus. We think he was writing to Ephesus. And there was a group of people there who decided to get special knowledge. They thought that just the simple word of God and what the apostles were telling them about Jesus and all of that, they figured that wasn't enough. What they needed was special knowledge, therefore they could have a special relationship with God that nobody else could. And one of the things they believed is that all flesh was sinful and all spirit was not. So therefore their goal was to transcend the flesh, to become purely spiritual beings, because, of course, flesh is sinful. This led to two things. Either, in attempt to become spiritual, they would subject the flesh to the harshest treatment, to become, they'd wear blinders, or they would, go and live by themselves in a cave someplace so that they weren't tempted. They would absolutely refuse to eat any of particular kinds of foods. The other extreme was, well, since the flesh is evil, we're not going to even worry about the flesh, so behavior counts for nothing. I'll declare myself to be a spiritual being, and I'll just have fun the rest of my life. After that, when you start making that distinction, then you have to ask, what do you do with Jesus? And so they had two approaches to Jesus. Either Jesus was truly a human being, in which case he could not be God, because humans, flesh is sin, and only spiritual God is not sin. Or they said he truly is God, but he didn't come in the flesh, because if he came in the flesh, then he was sinful. And so you had all of these crazy arguments going around, and one of the things that they would maintain is, if I'm a spiritual being, I do not sin. And John answers that question right here. If we say we have fellowship with him, this is verse 6, and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So that means the people who were making this claim to actually having no sinful tendencies, who cares? That's what they would say. Who cares what the flesh does? I'm spiritual. I don't sin. John would say to those people, you don't have his word in you. The truth is not in you. And therefore, he's calling them lost. He's saying you're hanging out here with people in this body of believers, and you're trying to lead them astray. You're trying to lie to them about who God is and how serious he is about himself and about our relationship with him. So therefore, if you're claiming to be without sin, you're lost. On the other hand, and this is verse 9, on the other hand, if we will confess our sins, that is, the word confess means to agree with God. if we will confess our sins. Now, I don't know if you're going to, but if you ever get around to confessing, to agreeing with God that you indeed have sin, that you do sin, you have to know that if you come to that point, he is faithful and just and will cleanse you from all unrighteousness and forgive all those sins. In fact, that's exactly what Jesus did, was to die once for all, to provide that once for all sacrifice that took away sin as a separation from God once and for all. And so that's why we say, absolutely, we confess. When we mess up, and if it's just between me and God, I confess that, Lord, I messed up. If I have sinned against Bob Davis, I confess to Bob Davis and say, I'm sorry, Bob, I messed up. Okay? Notice that this verse doesn't say, if we confess our sins and ask him to forgive us. All it says is to agree with God concerning your sins. And he is faithful and just. He is the one. If you go to Romans 3 and look at what, how Paul constructs that argument, God is the only one who could both be just and the justifier.
Yeah.
He's the one who would say, your sin deserves death. And then he could say, your sin caused the death of Jesus, and now you don't have to die. So he provided the means for salvation, for forgiveness, for relationship with him, and we now have the privilege of just simply telling the truth. You know, Lord, you're right. I've been trying to do this on my own. I've been trying to act as if I was you when I know that I'm not. And he says, thank you for confessing that, for acknowledging the truth. Now let me acknowledge a truth to you. I have forgiven you and I have cleansed you from all unrighteousness. You're my child. If I'm not his child, if I'm not sinned, this is pointless. I need to repent in that case, and repent of unbelief, and John deals with that in later parts of this letter. But if I have repented, if I have come to God and said, Lord God, I want to be your son, or I want to be your daughter, and he says, welcome home, and we are now adopted, now he says, in this relationship, continue to be honest with me, and I will continue to pour out my love on you in unimaginably great quantity, that you know, where sin abounded, grace abounds all the more. And it's that grace of God that actually teaches us to start saying no to this sin that so easily tangles us up and ties us in knots. Yeah. And so this passage in 1 John is a wonderful passage, absolutely truthful. You've got two clear situations, either people who refuse to admit the truth to God and therefore are lost, or people who have come to Christ and say, I know that I'm sinful. I need your help. And he says, you're mine. And now as a result of that, you get both forgiveness and cleansing from all unrighteousness because you now have the Holy Spirit living in you. It's a wonderful, wonderful passage.
Yeah, Ruth, does that help?
It helps, but yet still I say we have to ask forgiveness for our sins. And I'll stand by that as long as I live.
Well, you may do that. I'm not trying to convince you. I'm trying to explain what I believe. And the issue that you have to come to grips with and that I have to come to grips with is that the Holy Spirit will teach us truth. And I've had to change my mind on things, and you've probably had to change your mind on things. That's the Spirit's job. That's not my job to convince you. So I accept you as a sister in Christ, and I know that you want to confess, and you are blessed. Go ahead and confess, and at such time as the Holy Spirit wants to change your mind or convince you, he will do that. And so, you know, I'm fine with your position. I obviously disagree with your position, and you disagree with mine, but that doesn't mean you and I can't be brothers and sisters in Christ.
Ruth, we hope that helps. Hope you'll keep listening and call again if you have further questions. And have a great, great afternoon. Yorktown, New York. Let's talk to Dominic listening on WMCA.
Hello,
Dominic. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. How are you?
We're doing great. Good to hear from you. Hope you're doing well as well.
I'm doing well, thanks. My question is, I came across a scripture, I think it's in Romans, that the wages of sin is death, right?
Yes, Romans 6:23.
Well, I'm confused. I read in the first letter of John that not all sin leads to death. What's the difference between the two scriptures?
Okay. In Romans 6, Paul is talking to people who are making the argument, well, you know, if the grace of God is so great, why don't we continue sinning so that grace may abound? Why don't we, you know, why would God judge us for sinning if grace is such a good deal? And Paul is arguing that they've completely missed the point. He has to take them back to the beginning of the book, of the letter, in chapters 1, 2, and 3, where he lays out the argument that indeed all of us deserve death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, and notice how he compares wages and gift. The gift is a play on the word for grace. So on the one hand, what we deserve as payment is sin, but on the other hand, because of what Jesus has done, we have received the grace, this incredible gift of life. So let's quit arguing about sin, all right? So 1 John, the Apostle John, is saying, yeah, there's this sin that does not lead to death. Well, what is the sin that does not lead to death? It's any sin that you and I have acknowledged before God. There's only one sin that leads to death, and that is the refusal to accept Jesus as your Savior. God can't do anything about our decision to ignore Jesus, other than he has to honor that decision, and he, in fact, leaves us in a lost condition. And so John is talking about that unbelief sin as opposed to lying or cheating or all the rest of the things. The lying and the cheating and all of that comes from the root cause of unbelief. And in fact, even after we are saved, since we still have this flesh with its indwelling sin, we constantly battle with this tendency to do it on our own, to deny Jesus and to do it on our own. So we still struggle with sin because of the flesh, but we have stopped sinning in terms of unbelief. We have come once and for all to Jesus. That's why we say that repentance is a once-in-a-lifetime deal, as we repent of our unbelief and turn from that unbelief. Because repent means to turn around and go the other way.
Right.
And so we repent from our unbelief, we turn around, we face Jesus, we accept him, and now we are his. And now we get to do what we were just talking about with Ruth in 1 John 1, where now that I'm his, what is to prevent me? Nothing prevents me from actually agreeing with God that, yeah, that wasn't appropriate for a child of God. It was inconsistent with my identity as a child of God. So the repentance is what is needed to go from the sin that brings death to life. And that's the same statement, in effect, that Paul is making in Romans 6, that the wages of sin is death because you're already in a state of unbelief. Why would you continue sinning? Why don't you repent and come to Christ for life, and now you can become a slave of righteousness because you're a slave of Christ instead of being a slave of sin?
So I think you answered my question. Once I repent of my sin, I turn to Christ, then that won't lead to death because I've repented and have turned to our Lord and Savior.
Yes. And I can say that because Jesus is the one who promised through Paul and himself, actually. Paul in Romans 8, at the end of it, says, what can separate us from the love of God? Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And Jesus himself said, reported in John 10, you know, if I have saved you, you're in my hand, and no one can take you out of my hand. In fact, no one can take you out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So Jesus is the one who gives us this assurance of salvation that once we repent of the unbelief, we are now done with that sin. We are now children of God. And now it's just a mere matter, as if it were easy. It's just a matter of learning how to walk by faith in spite of the indwelling sin in our flesh, learning how to walk by faith in the indwelling Holy Spirit.
Thank you. That answers my question. I Thank you very much.
You're very welcome, Dominic. Why don't you hold on? We've got a special gift we'd like to give you. Just hold on, and the operator will be right with you.
Yes, indeed. Hope you keep listening and call again. Open lines and time on the clock, 1-800-677-9377. Want to hear from you. Just a little time left, so give us a call, 1-800-677-9377. In fact, everything we're talking about right here on Basic Gospel is wrapped up in the truth of God's love for you and me. And that's what Bob Christopher's book is about. It's called Love Is, and it's available to you right now for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. If you'd like to have a copy, go online to basicgospel.net, that's basicgospel.net, or phone 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours. And, of course, it's for a gift of any amount just to Basic Gospel. Love, that's what it's about, Richard.
It is.
God's love.
Absolutely. Let me piggyback
okay,
on that a little
sure.
bit. We are listener-supported, and we dearly appreciate all of those of you who do support us. What you're giving to is not my retirement fund.
Right.
What you're giving to is the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And doing so on this radio program is an incredible privilege for us, and we would love for you to join with us, to partner with us, so that we can continue to broadcast into the New York, Washington, Louisville, and Denver areas on these great Salem stations. We so appreciate being on them,
yeah.
And we just need your help. So if mm-hmm. you and God get together and decide what you can do to help us, but we'd appreciate it.
You bet. Go to basicgospel.net or call 1-800-727-2828. Very quickly to New York, and let's talk to Mitzi listening on WMCA. Mitzi, hi. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Yes, hi. I don't have a scripture that I wanted to make reference to, but I wanted to ask, when you get saved, you accept Christ, and mm-hmm. you know, you're trying to live the life, the life that he called you to live based on the biblical scriptures, do you get like an infilling of the Holy Spirit like at different times in your walk, or is it like just one, or is it something that you consistently experience as you get deeper in your belief with him and commune with God?
Okay, that's a good question, actually. Thank you, Mitzi. What happens when you are saved is that you receive the Holy Spirit, and at that moment, you have everything you need for life and godliness. But it's also true that as you grow up in Christ, as you mature as a believer, that you become ever more aware of the meaning of what of having the Holy Spirit in you. You learn more how to listen to the Holy Spirit and to understand the wisdom that the Holy Spirit is giving you. Because, after all, the Holy Spirit is the mind of Christ. That's what Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 2. And so we get to understand more and more and more as we walk in Christ. Now, the other thing that the Spirit does, and this is totally up to the Spirit's discretion, there are times when the Spirit needs you or me to be someplace to talk to someone, to give them a word from God. And you and I don't often know that that's exactly what we're doing. But at that moment, the Spirit is giving you a special gift in order to communicate the gospel to someone. It's not necessarily a big and noisy thing. It's just that the Spirit chooses to use you in a particular way at some time in your life, and he may never use you that way again, or he may use you another dozen times that way. But that's the Spirit's job, the Spirit's choice. The rest of the time, we have all of the Spirit we're ever going to get. So walk by faith in that and rejoice in it, because there's nothing more that you need other than what you've got.
Mitzi, thank you for your call. We're out of time. Hope you'll keep listening and call again. And as we close today's broadcast, again, we ask you to remember that Basic Gospel is dependent upon God working through you, our listeners, to be able to keep the broadcast on the air every day, and to express our thanks for your generous gift. For the next few days, we'll send you a copy of Bob Christopher's book, Love Is. God wants you to know that he loves you. You can rely on his love. It's all there in Love Is, yours today and for the rest of the week, as a matter of fact, for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. To complete your gift and request your copy, go online to basicgospel.net. basicgospel.net, or call 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours, 1-800-727-2828, for Love Is by Bob Christopher. If you use social media, we hope you'll like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. For those of you listening online, stay tuned for a special teaching edition on part 2 of Basic Gospel coming right up at the bottom of the hour. Now for Richard and Bob and the staff, Bob Davis saying God bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.